and understand that God has been working a work right inside these doors, inside these walls. Amen. Amen. We can see his hand of healing and mercy.
Oh, yes.
On so many things. Amen. And see, that's the stuff that blows your mind about God. You think about stuff that we couldn't figure out how's it going to work out. We may even have been worried about it. But God already got it fixed. So you don't really even have to worry. Amen. So there's some more things we're going to talk about today, and hopefully this will take us another installment deeper into what we've been trying to study throughout this year. And that's how to understand and apply God's love. Amen. In different areas of our own lives. Amen. And we need to learn to do it in every area of our own lives. But that's going to take something that doesn't, I can't give it to you. I wish I could. The best I can do to give it to you is tell you his word. Amen. And then when you receive that word, it says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons or the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So if you trust in the name of Jesus, guess what? Your account is already established.
That's right.
You have an established account with God just because you trust in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You believe that God raised him from the dead, and the Bible therefore says you shall be saved.
Right.
See? So God was on a mission even when we weren't trusting in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he already knew you from the before you were born, as we talked about last week.
Yeah.
He already knew you. It took you a while to come to know yourself.
Right.
You had to grow up like Jeremiah, who cried out. He said, Lord, who am I? I'm but a child, and now you're giving me stuff to do. And he said, don't say that I'm but a child, Jeremiah, because before I formed you in the belly, I knew you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations. See that? So God knows some stuff about you and me that we don't know. He's unfolding what he knows about you that you don't know every time you sit in his word. Every time he gives you another assignment. You know what? Everybody that's in his word has an assignment. You know that, don't you? You have an assignment. It may not seem like anything. You may not ever go stand and preach before a crowd. But that doesn't mean you don't have an assignment from God. And so what God is doing in the process of giving you his word, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So as you are hearing his word, he is imparting to each of you faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So a lot of stuff you're looking for, you're wondering, how is it going to come about? Will this ever come about in my life? Will this be true of me?
Right.
Will I be able to do these things?
Right.
And the true answer is by faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He starts to let you see what faith will do. You can look around and see what faith did already. All you have to do is look at what he made. That's why he said, we understand these things by the things that are made. See, even his eternal power and his Godhead, Paul wrote to the Romans. But therefore we are without excuse to believe in him in Romans 1. So today what I want to talk with you about, the Spirit put it on my heart, to talk with you about learning wisdom to practice God's love toward others. So many times we get into our own selves. It's easy to do it. It's easy for me to think about me, myself, and I. See, those three who we always thinking about. Me, myself, and I. See, but God wants you to get out of yourself and start thinking about someone else. You know, your life is, if you looked at it as a one item on a kaleidoscope, there's a bunch of other colors and different things that touch on that central thing, and that's a part of how you should see yourself. You are in the center of a bunch of other things that are a part of your life. Other people who are a part of your life. Folks you don't know, some of them you don't know so well, some of them you know very well, some of them you'd like to know, you see them in passing, but you really don't know them so well. And you have new people you run across all the time.
Amen.
God said this, and I'm going to get to this text in just a minute. He said that, you know what? He said that I give you my lights. When I'm in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Yes.
He said, but when I go out of the world, guess what? Ye are the light of the world.
Right.
I'm putting my light in you. I'm making an investment in everyone who believes in me. Every disciple of mine. A disciple is a learner. You and I are learners. We're learning together. And how did I do it? I didn't leave you by yourself. He said, I'm not going to leave you without a comforter.
That's right.
They started to say, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we operate without you? They started to be fearful because he said he was going to go away. So, but he told them, don't worry about that because I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. I'm going to send you another comforter. And that word another means another just like me. He's with you now, but he will be in you, he told them.
Yep.
In the upper room discourse, as they sat at the last Passover, as we like to call it. So he told them that he's with you now, but he will be in you.
Amen.
See? And the Holy Spirit is of whom he spoke. But now what we want to do is give a definition before we read these verses from Solomon in the book of the Proverbs. What is the definition of wisdom? Let's say godly wisdom, because James tells us there's two kinds of wisdom.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the wisdom of the world, and it comes to naught, Paul tells us. That means it's going to equal zero when everything is done.
Yeah.
Naught means zero.
Yes.
Simply put, nothing. All the wisdom of the world will come to naught. So it really isn't wisdom at all. True wisdom is knowledge that is applied to the glory of God.
Right.
If God is not glorified by whatever it is that you call knowledge, it's going to come to zero. That's what Paul says, it comes to naught. You know why? Because the earth and its works are scheduled for destruction. Did you know that? But those who do the will of God abide forever.
Yep.
See, so that lets you know that what people might think is wisdom might look pretty wise until the whistle is blown. But there's coming a day, and I'm not going to say the whistle, let's say the trumpet sounds.
Uh-huh.
Same difference. When the trumpet sounds and the dead are raised incorruptible,
oh, yeah.
John said he was watching, he saw the heavens and earth flee away like a scroll that was being rolled up.
Yeah.
And there was no place found for them. They went out of existence.
Amen.
He said, but I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God.
Yes.
As a bride adorned for her husband.
Hallelujah.
See, that's what he said. And he was able to see this in the spirit. See, so the worldly wisdom rolled up like a scroll and didn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They bought old towers and banks and gold and silver. That's everything. But it rolled up like a scroll. And there was no place found for them. Then he said, I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before the throne of him that sat upon the throne.
All right.
See, that lets you know souls are eternal, but stuff is temporal. It's temporal. So why would we invest our mind, our lives, and all that we do and everything we become in stuff? For what reason would we do that? That would be very unwise, wouldn't it? So we're going to watch giant. John said, I saw all that roll up like a scroll. Went out of existence. Then he saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God. As a bride adorned for her husband. Think about the beauty of that. That's one of the most beautiful things you ever see on earth. The whole church sits and waits. And the groom is standing there waiting. And all of a sudden the cry comes, here comes the bride. And all eyes are fixed on the bride.
Yeah.
And she comes in all her splendor and her glory.
Yes.
And walks
yes.
on up to be beheld by everybody.
Yes.
See, and God is preparing a bride.
Yes.
And you are a part of the bride.
Oh, yes.
If you are part of the body of Christ,
yes. That's right.
You are the bride of Christ.
That's right.
He's preparing you
yes.
for that day when there comes a shout at midnight. Behold, the bridegroom comes. And the wise virgins are going to rise up and go out to meet him. Because they're going to be ready.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Jesus said it's some foolish virgins. They're going to go run out at the last minute.
Too late.
It's too late now. By the time they get back, they're going to be at the door knocking.
Not too late.
Somebody wrote a song. I hear you knocking, but you can't get in. I'm going to leave that alone.
All right.
So you need to be ready. You need to be ready when it's time to go. So in other words, what you do in the time you have is wisdom if you apply your life correctly. So we need to learn to practice wisdom, not just for our benefit. Because you know what? You don't know who God has put you in their life for you to impact them. We don't think like that normally. Normally we think about, what am I doing? We sometimes worry about our family and immediate relatives. What about the outsider? What about the people on the fringes of your life? Folks who you think, boy, they look like they ain't going to ever come around. How many situations have you had in your life that looked like it was never going to be fixed? And you looked around and
bam,
there it was. God fixed it. You didn't know how it was going to turn out. But he was in the details, working some things in the background you didn't even know about. Then you looked up and boom, there it is. See, you may even have cried about it and wept over it. How would this ever get fixed? But he was able. And he showed up and then he showed off. You didn't even have to put a finger on it. All that worrying you did was in vain. For no reason. God had fixed it already. See? And he will do this, church. So we need to learn to trust him and change the center of our focus. Get it off your circumstances. Get it off, my provisions. You know what? How many of you have been without what you needed? We've been without it temporarily. You know what I'm saying? And you thought, I'm never going to get this, or it looked like it's never going to come around, or looks like it's slow coming. But then when it comes, you see, here it is. And so God knows what to do. So in the meantime, if we could spend that energy And the time of our thought process, instead of worrying and complaining and being fearful about what's going on, if we can learn to see past it in the spirit, and understand that God has given you knowledge which he would like you to apply to his glory and for his purposes, then you will be able to execute godly wisdom and practice the love of God towards someone else. And it's not easy to do. You know what? We're automatically selfish.
Yes, we are.
Every one of us automatically selfish.
Amen.
We come in here, it's mine. How many little kids you see? Give me that. That's mine.
Yeah.
They don't want nobody to play with it but them. You see what I'm saying? But Solomon, who was a wonderful man of God, he learned, and the Bible says he was the most wise of any man before him or after him. And of course, this excludes our Lord and Savior,
Amen.
Jesus Christ. So, but of men, people born of a woman, Solomon had the most wisdom. You won't hear that coming out of the colleges and from the folks who teach philosophy. They won't be telling you that.
No way.
They'll be talking to you about Socrates and Plato and all kinds of folks. But the Bible says God gave Solomon wisdom above any man before him or any that would arise after him.
Amen.
So you can go by what thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
Somebody may laugh at you and mock you. Ah, you believe that? Yes, I do. Sure do. So do Solomon gonna be there? Will you be there? If you trust in God and lean not to your own understanding. Now you know what? I didn't put those verses on your sheet because y'all know that already. I said they know this already. I could have went back up to verse 5 in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. He'll make your path straight.
Yes, he
see,
will.
He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's where the concentration of our mind should be. And later on, he says what we have here, this text in front of us. We're going to take a look in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, just verses 9 to 13, just to get an idea. You can read this with me if you like. And in New Testament, Matthew 7 through 12, just a few verses, to see what was the focus of Jesus, our Lord, on this same topic. Proverbs 3 and 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so that thy barn shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary when you are of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Amen. That's the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord from the old covenant. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall our Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is what we call the golden rule. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Amen. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the New Testament scripture as well. And we just want to talk just a little bit here today on learning wisdom to practice God's love toward others. Amen. Wisdom, the application of knowledge to the glory of God. Amen. That's the right definition.
Yes.
Somebody would just say wisdom is the application of knowledge. But if it doesn't redound to the glory of God, my question is, what good is it? What good is it? Suppose you build towers that reach up to the heavens. They tried that. Didn't work. God shut them down. You see what I'm saying? People keep on trying, and they keep on trying to do that. Make something, put their name right up there, you know, on the building. Not that that's bad. If you get one, go ahead and put your name up there. But know who gave it to you.
That's right.
Understand how you got it. And give glory to your Creator. See, because when the heavens and the earth have passed away, God says, my word will never pass away. You see that? The heavens and earth shall pass away, it says in the Bible, but my word shall never pass away. That's the reason why only that which is done to God's glory is true wisdom. Because what's the good of it if it's not going to endure the test of time? Never thought of, we say the test of time, but we don't really think of it that way. Time is a test, because you know what? There's coming a day, time won't be anymore. So time is a test because it allows you a space in the temporal world, which is tainted with sin, to operate until that day is over. And at some time, God is going to roll it up like a scroll. Like rolling up a tent, moving it on out the way. And then eternity is coming in. You know what? Before sin came in, there was eternity.
Yes.
See? And when sin happened, the Bible says the wages for sin, what?
Death.
It's death.
Yes.
And when death came in, it changed the whole structure of everything.
Amen.
And it was an enemy, even against God. The good news is that God never changed, no matter what man did.
Never.
Even though man gave all this into his dominion, that's the reason why it has to expire and be dealt with. It's because of the curse of sin. But see, those of you who have trusted in Christ have entered into another state, and you have to be reminded. And it's the duty of the church to tell people that when you trust Christ, who came into this world the same way you did, that's why he's called the only begotten Son of God, because he's the only one God had that was born of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
See, Adam wasn't born of a woman. Adam was the product of the dust of the ground.
That's right.
And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. But Jesus went through the entire human process. He was conceived in the womb of a virgin. Only difference is that Adam and none of his children were his father. God was his father. And he designed a woman in order that she could bear his son without giving him the sin curse. Like all of us have when we're born.
Amen.
People don't believe that. Folks, you know, a lot of sophisticated people in the world, well, we don't believe that. You know, what do you mean original sin? Says, y'all, I like to tell them, check your life, buddy. Look at your life if you want to talk about original sin. Have you been perfect from the womb up until this moment? I'd like to ask him something. Some of them will probably say they are the rich young ruler. He thought he could get a pass. Good master, what must I do to have eternal life?
Yep.
He said, you know what the book said, Jesus said. Keep the commandment. Oh, yeah, I done that. Oh, you did? He said, oh, you did. Oh, you done all that. Okay. Well, then go and sell everything you own and give it to the poor. Then you have treasure in heaven and come and worship me.
All right.
You know what the Bible said? He went away disappointed. Oh, well, that's too much. He went away disappointed.
Yep.
Think about that. That's not saying everybody who has something sell everything you got to give it to the poor. But he hit him right where his obstacle was in his wallet. I hit you right in your bank account.
That's right.
Because you think your bank account is going to get you somewhere. You think because I let you have that and acquire all that, that you good. But you don't know. You don't show love toward others. See? So he hit him right where it hurts. Right in the bank account. Right in the wallet.
Yep.
And he went away.
Yep.
He said, oh, well, none of that for me. Mm-hmm. And he went away disappointed.
Yes.
And the Bible says Jesus loved him.
Yes, he did.
Wow. He loved him, but he went away disappointed. Think about that. That means there's something in your life stopping you from the best that God has for you.
Yep.
And it has to do with how you treat others.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon says, honor the Lord with thy substance. In other words, what you have, honor God with it.
Yes.
And then with the first fruits of all your increase. Well, you start to include God in what you do with your substance. See, then every time he gives you an increase, I remember you, God, every time. You on the top of my list, Lord, your kingdom and what you're doing. See, then God now becomes involved in your financial progress. He comes and becomes involved in your progress, all the things you do. Notice what he says here, so that thy barns shall be filled with plenty. That was wealth in those days. And thy presses, that's what they made olive oil and wine and all that was in a press. They would collect the oil and the wine, put it in a press. Notice what it says here, they will burst out with new wine. Your grapes are going to be overflowing. Why? Because you put God in the midst of your accomplishments. So your barns shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now notice this, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. All these verses are connected. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him. That was up in verses 5 and 6. That's why I came down a little further to get us into this. Because this is wisdom. When you see that God, it was necessary for God to give me what I have to do what I'm doing. So I want to acknowledge him in whatever I'm doing. And if he gives me some increase, I'm going to acknowledge him. Every time he escalates my life to another level, I'm going to acknowledge him. See, this is wisdom.
Yeah.
Why? Because the stuff won't mean anything. If what Job said is true, naked came I into the world, and naked I return, that means all the stuff in between is peripheral, isn't it? It's only what I do with it. We say only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen.
See? In other words, it's going to go beyond the grave.
Amen.
On into eternity when the earth and its works are rolled up like a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we call it stewardship.
Yeah.
It's good stewardship that you manage the things God has given you because you didn't bring anything in when you came.
Right.
You know, you might have bought some joy. Your mother says, good, I'm glad that's over with. Thank you, Jesus. I got a son or a daughter. You know, so some things happen, but you didn't have any substance. You had nothing to your account.
Nothing.
See? And when you go, you're going to go in a box and go away.
Yeah.
And you'll be nothing but your birthday suit, as we say. Somebody will cover you with something so you won't be looking ridiculous in there. But the fact is, in between, how do you just apply God's wisdom to what you do with the stuff he gives you in between? Think about it. Solomon said it has to do with honoring the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
with your increase. You see that? With the first fruits of all your increase, honor the Lord with your substance.
Yes.
And then he says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That means that sometimes God has to correct us when we don't do what we should. Just like you would if you saw your child doing something that you don't approve of. Good parents will say, I'm going to check you on this. You see, they may not do what you said. But you're going to check them. They won't go and say, oh, my mom never told me or my dad never told me. You see, you will get checked, and it's because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Neither be ye weary of his correction. When God gives you correction, don't let it bother you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you more than you know. For whom the Lord loves, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, why does it say that right there? Because when you start to understand that what you do with your substance and what you do with your increase should include God, if it doesn't, it's not going to be of any benefit. So God is going to chastise you along the way and say, get with the program. He ain't going to kick you out. But he's chastening you. Let you know this is what will be the best thing for you when it's all done. And when you do that, how else can we do it? We can show love to others. God didn't give us what we have simply for us to acquire it.
Right.
He's blessing you so you can be a blessing to somebody else.
Right.
See, so you got to get out of yourself.
Yeah.
It's not all about me. It's about Joe and Sue and Sally and Sam. Two. Because God gave me that. And you know, when you do that, that's why Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. That's how you do it. You make a transfer from the bank of earth to the bank of heaven.
Yeah, Lord.
When you start to see other people's needs and use what God has given you and acknowledge him first in all your ways, and then look toward others.
Amen.
To bless them with what God has given you.
Yeah.
See, then you're going to see some monumental changes in your life. At that point, you will be learning wisdom to practice God's love toward others, and God will bless you in return.
Yes.
And you have to learn to do that. That's why there's a chastening verse in the middle of all that.
Amen.
So the wisdom of Solomon, the most wise man except Jesus, teaches us to intentionally involve God, who is the provider of all things possessed by everyone, by acknowledging him with all that we obtain, as well as with a portion of our increase, so that he can show us even greater blessings as a result of it.
Right.
Some people don't learn about the greater blessings because they don't trust God with what they have now.
Right.
Somebody say, you know, it's one dude, he came up on $10,000. He said, well, you know, am I supposed to give God $1,000? Boy, that's hard. You know what? It's no different than if you came up on 10 and you gave him $1.
No difference.
The same difference.
No difference.
You know, somebody will trust him with $1. But it's harder to let go of $1,000. But it's the same. It's exactly the same. You know, and some people will go beyond. People who learn this say, hey, I'm going to give two because I don't really need. But eight, I can get by with eight. And I can trust him because he has blessed me. He has never failed me. When you start to get into that mindset, this is why I've told y'all this. This lesson is really not just about giving. You know, I wish I'm praying that I will get to a place in my life where I can keep 10% and give him 90%. That's the way my mind is set.
Right now.
Suppose I'm keeping 10, I'm good.
Wow.
Everything is good with me.
Right.
I don't need the 90. I'm not going to take it with me anyway.
Right.
But if I could get by with 10 and give him 90, I'm really going to be moving then.
All right.
And see, then there's no limit to his return into your life. So it's not about the amount. It's not about the percentage. None of that. It's about getting out of yourself.
That's right.
And getting into someone else.
Amen.
See, when you got to change the way you think.
Yeah.
Change your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
As we always said, y'all heard this. I heard this from Reverend Barney, I think was the first person I heard say it. He said, you know something? You have never seen a U-Haul following behind a hearse on the way to the cemetery. I have seen people burn rubber after the burial on the way to your house. That I've seen. Hurry up, get back there so I can be the first one to get there. That I have seen. But you ain't never seen a U-Haul following the hearse. That doesn't happen. And so change your mindset about the way you think.
Yeah.
And this is real wisdom, because God is always going to be better to you than anybody else can.
Yes.
No way, no other way around it.
Yeah.
The development of a love-based, dependent relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is the basis upon which we are taught by Jesus to ask. You notice they have that word ASK in parentheses. Knowing that God cares about everything we are dealing with, need, and are seeking to obtain in life. He cares about every little thing in your life. Because he is the creator of all things, who loves us and has given us such privileges to be exercised by faith. See, now what does that mean? That means God is involved in everything anyway. When he says ask, look at Matthew 7. The first word is ask, right? The first letter is A. Ask and it shall be given to you. The second letter is S. Seek and ye shall find. The third letter is K. Knock. And it shall be open. A-S-K. And that worked out in English. It came from the Greek. And in the English it says A-S-K. Remember that. Ask, seek, and knock. God says, whatever you're doing, put me in it. Involve me in what you're doing. You know what? If you're doing something you can't involve me in, stop it.
Amen.
Stop doing it, whatever it is. If you can't ask him to bless what you're doing, something is wrong with you. So he said, ask, seek, and knock. Notice the answers here. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Why? Because I'm putting God into the things I'm doing. I'm adding him into the stuff I'm doing. Whatever it is. It's over my head, Lord. If it costs too much, God, help me. If I don't know who to talk to get this done, who, Lord? See, he's involved in your life. Then he gives you the same metaphor we just saw up there in the Proverbs. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? How about you? If your son came to you, would you give him a stone? No. Or if he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent? Not likely. So what he's trying to do is say, if you do this for your sons, what do you think I'm going to do for you? Think about it. If then you being evil, notice that. How many folks are evil? All of them. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? See that? Therefore, he said, now notice the conclusion. All of that seems to be just about me. But notice what the conclusion is, what we call the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. In other words, treat people the way you want to be treated, not the way they treat you. You dog me, I'm going to dog you back. That's the wrong attitude. You dog me, I'm going to bless you.
Right.
And curse not, like Paul had to say, which that one always blew me away. But sometimes I get past to bless you, then I turn around, you didn't know. I'm thinking in my mind, but my mind is not right. I blessed you in your face, then I turn around behind you, you know. And you be thinking, that's why Paul said, bless and curse not. Get where your heart is pure about the blessing that you're giving. Y'all know how y'all do it, how I do. I confess, man, I'm going to be right up here. Don't want to stand here and lie. But bless and curse not, Paul said. Why do you think he put that in curse not? Because sometimes you bless because other folks see me now. Then I get in my car. And I'm steaming. Steaming hot. So you shorted out everything that you did. That other stuff was a show. But when you start to get where you can really do it and turn it over to God, and I trust you to deal with it. Yeah, he may be an old good low down dog. But you deal with it, Lord. It's off my plate. I bless you, sir, in the name of Jesus. And go on about my business. And let him handle it. He said he'll make your enemies behave. Make your enemies your footstool. See? And just watch and see. You know, you should see it. Look at the people God put in front of you in the Word. David was being pursued. God had anointed him king.
Yes, he did.
And he didn't just say, okay, Saul, that's it, buddy, I'm cutting you down. Mm-hmm. You know what he did? He said, touch not the Lord's anointed, neither do his prophets any harm.
Yes.
That's his business.
Right.
It's not my business to get you off the throne.
Right.
When it's my turn to reign, nothing on earth or in the heavens will be able to stop you.
Right. Right.
God will get rid of you. You know what happened? Saul ended up throwing himself upon his own sword.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
David didn't have to take him out.
Right.
And he wept and mourned for days and days and days after Saul died. Because I had nothing to do with it. All I'm doing is blessing the Lord's anointed. You're in charge. We have to learn that it's hard to do some of the stuff, like when we have leaders in office who you don't like what they're doing. You got to get where I'm not going to sit up and run his name down and talk about him like a dog, which we like to do. Bless you in the name of Jesus. You are the king, you're the president, you're the mayor, whatever you are. But God will deal with you when it's your turn. He'll cut you down just like he stood you up. You know, that's his business, not mine. If he lets you stay in there the rest of my physical life on earth, I'm going to be good with it. Because I'm not going to answer to you anyway when it's all done. You're going to answer to him. And so am I. See, get the right mindset. That's what we say by learning wisdom, to practice God's love toward others. Realize he got my back. I don't have to worry about who's down there in the city hall. I don't have to worry about who's up in Washington, D.C. I don't have to worry about Kim Jong-un or any of these folk. What's his name over there? All in Vladimir Putin. Okay, praise God. You can push the button, but God knows what's happening. You know, he'll know who pushed it. All of that. I don't need to worry about you. And the only thing you can do is send me to Jesus quicker if you do it. Jesus said, do not fear him who can destroy the body. And when he does that, that's all he can do. But fear him who can destroy body and soul and cast both into hell. That's who you have to fear. Him only. Nobody else. The Lord is the strength of my life. Who shall I fear? See what I'm saying? Who shall I be? Of whom shall I be afraid?
No.
See, don't worry about the fear factor. You start getting your mind tuned in on this ask, seek, and knock. That applies to everything going on with you in your life. And that's godly wisdom. Put your focus and your attention on the Most High God. And think about what he did. He gave his son so that you and I can talk to him and be heard. It's not a cheap price. He invested the most expensive thing that you could possibly ever have, the most costly thing on earth. So if we should understand that keeping the golden rule requires acting outside the box, in other words, don't do what everybody else does. You act outside the box. It's like thinking outside the box. Don't just think the way everybody else does. You just set forth maximal effort not to return evil for evil, but to extend the treatment that you would desire from others to others. Treat people the way you want them to treat you. Just as God has done, even down to sending his only begotten son to be severely punished, to show the limitless magnitude of his love for you and his power even over death in the grave, canceling even fear. You have nothing even to fear. Because God has made that investment in me and you.
Yes.
If he gave Jesus to secure your account, What else is more important?
Nothing.
If he gave his son, don't you think he can give you some dollars or account if you need?
Oh, yeah.
If he gave his son, can he give you anything else?
Oh, yeah.
That's why Paul says, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?
Oh,
he who gave his own son. He spared not his own son. And I think he says that in comparison to Abraham going up to Mount Moriah with Isaac.
Yes.
Yes. He spared his son.
That's right.
He told him, Abraham, same hand.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to understand the gospel. It hadn't happened yet. It's going to happen right there where your son is next, on this mountain. Later on, that became known as Mount Calvary. In the days of Abraham, it was Mount Moriah. And he had Isaac, the son of promise, on the altar, ready to put plunge of life into his own son. And then God said, nope, stop right there. Get that ram over there. I'll give you a substitute for your boy. But when my boy was on there stretched up between heaven and earth, he turned away and forsook him on the cross in order to give me and you a right to the tree of life. Isn't that large? Think about it. What are you dealing with that's bigger than that in your life?
Nothing.
See what I'm saying?
Nothing.
And he intervened, and time came in and did this and centered history around Jesus. So it's an indelible mark left on the world. 2019, been 2019 years since I sent my own son to the tree. And I did it for you because I love you just like you are. And I love you too much to leave you just like you are. I had him come in, die on the tree, go through the grave for 3 days and nights, and then I raised him up on the third day for him. And he got up and said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He turned it over to his son. And he did that for you. Think about it. He did that for you. So do I need to worry about letting get the $3 raise? So and so did. God is fighting me. No, he's not. He'll show you how to make it.
Yes, he will.
Make it with what he gave you.
Yes, he will.
He'll make the ends meet. He'll put it together for you. He knows what to do. Oh, so and so talked about me at the water cooler. He knows how to handle that. That's easy for him. See? Start ask, or whatever it is. Maybe you feel intimidated. Lord, I feel intimidated. Help me right now, Lord.
All right, man.
In the name of Jesus. Help me to look on what you did for me. And then nothing they say over there in the office really means
nothing,
much.
Nothing,
not as much as what you see.
Right.
You say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Why, I've been through everything, including the grave, to give you power over whatever you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Give you authority to deal with it. If you're here today and you have not been saved, I just want to invite you right now. Come right now. God loves you just like you are. He paid an extreme price for you and me. And all you have to do is receive it. The Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. You know, he did it so that you could be assured that you have everlasting life. And then whatever you go through here, do it all to his glory. That's why Paul said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. See? So we got to start involved in the Lord in everything we do. There will be a lot of stuff you'll have to stop. Because I can't say I'm doing this to God's glory. There's going to be some stuff that's going to go to the wayside. But I can't say I'm doing this to his glory. No way. Start to focus on his glory. See, if his glory is in your mind, you're going to be like Moses, who gets in his face and I want to unveil face with nothing between me and you. You see, so I can sense your glory and your majesty. That will help you clean up your act. So we have to go there. Then don't keep it to yourself. Realize God called you so you can share it. Sometimes we shut down. Well, he wants you to be saved. You're so evil. And we go away. Some folks try to be the judge. Don't judge nobody. I don't know what's up with you. I know God loves you. If he could take Saul of Tarsus and turn him around, he hated the church. You know, some of us didn't hate the church. We just didn't know what was up. But we just didn't receive it or get involved in it because we didn't know. But think about Saul. He said, I know all about it. I hate you, so y'all got to go. That's right. I'm going down to get papers, and if I can do it legally, so they won't even take me to jail when I get the whooping. That's how he was. I'm going to beat you, and if I have to, I'll kill you and say you gave resistance, and I have papers from the Sanhedrin and from the government. I can get away with it. I can do a Darren Wilson on you.
Ouch.
Wow.
All right.
Ouch.
And get away with it. People will let me get away with it. But when he was confronted with the living Christ on the Damascus Road, think about that.
Yeah.
He fell off that beast to the dust.
Yes.
He said, who art thou, Lord? He knew he was encountering God himself. Mm-hmm. Almighty, he said, Saul, Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Because your destiny is really not where you're trying to press it to be. Your destiny is with me. I have ordained you from your mother's womb, just like he told Jeremiah, to be a prophet and to stand before the kings, the apostle to the Gentiles. Those Gentiles you hate that my church is trying to go out and preach the gospel to, I'm going to send you before kings. And I'll be there with you. So I'll turn around 180 and became Paul. And he is one of the greatest people that the world has ever seen. He forsook everything he had and began to walk with Christ. He's a writer of about half of the New Testament.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he went from a hater to a full participator in the gospel. He changed his mind. And all that he was doing that he thought was wise means nothing. Turn it around. See? And now what he does, he knows he was able to write, as we said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. Do it all to the glory of God. He went to prison and sat in the prison. He did whatever it took. He was in a shipwreck. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. Everything. He went through all kinds of stuff. He said, what great things you must suffer for my name's sake, the Lord had told him. See, you and I don't even have to compare anything near what he went through. You know? So how about just reaching out to somebody who may not like you or may not understand you? See, that's what we need. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. I'm not going to say it. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. That's all I say. Y'all know that's all. That's not a hymn. But in either case, we hope you did get something out of the message today.
Amen.
And if you're here and you're not saved, we get the opportunity now to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Amen. He loves you already. I can let you know that. How do I know? Because he did what he did on the cross for you. And he sent the church, set the church in the world, which seems like a minor thing compared to some of the organizations and corporations and all the things that are in the world. But he chose the simple things to confound those things that are mighty. You know, that's why churches are the way you see them now. Some of you see are stacked all up with all manner of stuff. And I have something I'll hopefully show you on next week, if the Lord tarries, that the Lord has been putting in my spirit, and I just am holding it off until I feel compelled to do it. But God has been showing me some things. And want to talk with you about them on next week. But if you're not saved, be saved right now. The Lord wants you saved. What does that mean? That means I trust Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. And I do that for myself, personal. That's what salvation is about. Paul said, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And Jesus is alive and well. I sent that song to the musicians already. And we may be trying to put that down on in here. But he's alive and well. And he's the only one that has defeated the grave in the history of mankind permanently. That's awesome. That gives me a lot of hope. I have hope. I pray God for hope. But it gives me even more hope. The fact that See, I think that's why God wanted me to be married to hope. Because he knew I needed hope. And like I say, he loves you. And he wants you to know for sure that you are saved. Amen. So if you're not sure, make it sure today. Amen. And if you need a church home, we are here for you. St. Timothy MB Church is established for your edification. We hope to build you up and teach you things about the word that you did not know and make things clear to you that you may not have understood. And that's mainly what we're here for. And then from here, we want to disseminate this message to as many as possible. So that's why we teach like we do here today. And the people in your life, you know some folks I will never see. There's some folks on your street. I heard Sister Hugger talking about some folk who was giving her the blues over a parking space. God wants them to be saved. No matter who you're dealing with, anywhere along your family or on your street or in your building or anywhere around you, don't ever discount anybody. You know, because God wants all the people who you're connected to be saved and for you to be a good witness for them. And remember, everything we do it as unto the Lord. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. So we pray that you got a good word from the message today. And we're going to go ahead. We do have, I don't consider